Heavenly Father, help us to be people who do not only hear your word, help us to put it into practice in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. First, my thanks to Phil, your vicar, for trusting me with leading your worship today. He doesn't know me very well. You may say by the end of this service that's fairly obvious. Your church warden, John, as he has already said, we've known each other for a lot longer, 40 years. Tradecraft, where we worked together in setting it up. But I was then a vicar of a coal mining village near Sunderland. But when I left there, I was co-pastor of an international congregation in Oman, Arabia. Quite a large chunk of Arabia, 1,000 miles of coastline. Then 30 years ago, I came to Morden and was there until I retired. Now, apart from family, my main involvement is with encouraging gospel ministry with Muslims in this area, as well as where I live near Tunbridge Wells, that bastion of Britishness, where I grew up, in fact, and then found my way back there. That also has a lively mosque. But enough of introduction. We turn to one of only the two miracles that are recorded in all four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record the feeding of the 5,000. The only other miracle that all four Gospel writers record was the resurrection of Jesus. St. John must have known of the other three Gospels. His was written last. And it's pretty clear that he writes his Gospel to fill out, to tell of events and teaching that the other Gospels left out. Of course, the resurrection of Jesus is central to all the New Testament writers. But this miracle that we heard read here from Luke chapter 9 comes also in Matthew, Mark, and in John 6, as we'll look in a moment. But for a moment, I'd ask you, as I read from the account of Mark, which gives us some of the background of how it started. Mark 6, verse 31. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Atmosphere must have been electric. Maybe some of you have been at a football stadium religious meeting, like Billy Graham's Mission England back in the 1980s. Or 7 years ago, maybe you were at the National Day of Prayer at the main Wembley Stadium, and 40,000 of us gathered there. There was the Mexican wave that started at one point and went all the way around the stadium two or three times. They had quite a job to kind of call us back to order. Or Graham Kendrick leading us with his hymn, "Shine, Jesus, Shine." The song was, of course, Old Hat. By 7 years ago, you could tell the older ones among us knew, though, when to add the clap, clap, clap. I don't know if you do that here still. But such modern events, with their electronic aids, they weren't the first of such gatherings since Jesus' time. Years ago, during the great Methodist revival, thousands would gather for many hours together to hear both preaching and to witness miraculous healings. I have here instructions on how to organise a Methodist open-air meeting. And this was actually passed down through various generations of my family. And it makes quite a historical record. No reference there, though, to a miracle like food being multiplied. But for a more modern example, I turn to a young family from my northeast parish. Malcolm and Betty, who had just become Christians. They'd prepared enough broth and stotty cake for them and their small children, plus three other children from another family. But as I sat down, four adult family members arrived. Malcolm asked a blessing, prayed that the food would go round. Everyone had plenty, and there was enough to freeze for another meal. I've told this story on several occasions, but as it was 40 years ago, I decided I should phone Malcolm yesterday and just check that I'd got the story correct. And it was as if it had been yesterday, as he retold the story so vividly. It had made such an impression on him. And Malcolm is now a lay preacher up there in County Durham. Jesus did many miracles. They still happen today. As more Christians, as more people become Christians around the world, well, the instances happen more and more. I love the saying of Jesus to his disciples back in John 14. Truly, I tell all of you emphatically, the one who believes in me will also do what I'm doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. Well, that promise has come true in countless situations. But also, I suggest, through the way that what we call now natural science brings healing to so many. Disease, accident, addiction, what was considered impossible situations. I think of my father, a missionary in China, conducting opium-breaking campaigns where prayer was central to the weeks of cold turkey treatment. And John has already emphasized, but let me give it an extra plug for Friday. And China and the changing face of global Christianity. And now there is so much that we need to learn from the Chinese church. I'd encourage you to get along Friday, November the 1st. Prayer at the centre of healing that's offered, whether through medics or care. The whole issue of feeding the hungry in our world, so many of them children. What a challenge we face as Western churches and how we respond better to that urgent situation. There's of course the importance to consider trade carefully and properly. As John mentioned, tearcraft and tradecraft started to offer employment for many thousands across what we call then the Third World. What practical healing can be offered in Sutton these days? Individually, of course, being unpaid or paid carers for either youngsters or old people, and of course in challenging young people to take up caring professions. Clearly putting one's back into community service, in management or practical matters. All areas where Christians can offer a service in the name of Christ. Teachers, nurses, doctors, school governors. It all comes under the practical service done prayerfully, expecting God to transform our mere human skills with Holy Spirit power. But of course, there is the problem of human selfishness, or as the Bible calls it, sin, that prevents us being the people that we should be, enabling the Holy Spirit to work through us and bring about the same kind of miracle that Jesus did when he fed the 5,000. How to overcome that little word, sin, with the letter I in the middle. That was the main subject of Jesus' teaching to the crowds, wherever he went, whether at a lakeside or a mountain, or more especially just with his disciples. And what a struggle they had in understanding what Jesus was about. But the religious, the sin of pride, of course. And today, what a struggle people have to understand sin. Better just to play it down, to forget the little ways that selfishness worms its way into our relationships. Better to forget the big issues of hunger, war, Holocaust, racism, all forms of discrimination, climate emergency. They all start from putting self first. But being honest with ourselves, we stand with the crowd in front of Jesus. And as in John 6:28, we ask the question, what can we do in order to do what God wants us to do? Beginning of John chapter 6 retells the event of the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. Then comes another miracle which only a few of the disciples saw, Jesus calming the storm and walking on water. But then picking up in verse 25 in John chapter 6. They found him on the other side of the lake. They asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. You're looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? To believe in the one that he has sent. So having received the bread of life ourselves, what do we do with it? We share it, of course, not only in all the practical ways that I've been talking about, perhaps too long, but then, as John 6 makes clear, there is putting the gospel, the good news of Jesus, into words. Hopefully by the same people offering the caring, healing ministry. But then, of course, sometimes it's hard to be able to put into words the reasons why conscientious teachers, youth workers, street cleaners, carers, housemaids, engineers, bus drivers, until recently Christian doctors and nurses sometimes offered to pray with patients. Now that's rarely offered for fear of offending people. Even religious education teachers have to be balanced in what they teach. All the more important then, those of us able to put the gospel into words must do so whenever and wherever and whenever we can, with neighbours, friends, family, colleagues, and so on. And then there is the specific gift of preaching. Preaching to local congregations, no one can put a stop to that in the so-called enlightened Western nations. Until recently, a great way of sharing the gospel in words was through crusade preaching. These days, not so easy, as more and more people start way back from knowing much about the Bible and the gospel at all. But one lesson I learned early on from being a student teacher in Nigeria was the vital importance of churches working and praying together in evangelism. Prayer across denominations in an area is so important. And I'm grateful indeed for a monthly prayer breakfast that is organised across the Sutton Borough. Churches for Sutton Borough churches, for church leaders and youth workers. I first joined it early in 1990. I've worked working out that I probably came along to about 200 of these prayer breakfasts. And they meant a great deal in giving me support and encouragement in the work I was doing across the border, mainly in Mertonborough. I still occasionally drive up to join in these days. Preaching is not, of course, limited to full-timers. Malcolm, who I spoke about earlier, is a reader in his own area. And then there is simply the day-to-day witness to family, friends, and work colleagues. What a difference it makes when we pray specifically for people by name. In the 1980s, Mission England made a great point of encouraging prayer triplets. I wonder if any of you were in one. Three Christians meeting weekly together to pray for three people each who were not yet Christians. There are countless stories of people who were prayed for in such a way who then became Christian disciples themselves. So offering practical healing, offering the healing that comes from hearing the gospel and being challenged to turn to Jesus, to commit our lives to him. And so I finish by asking perhaps if you've been coming to church for a while, but you haven't actually made that same commitment yourself to give your life to Jesus as he calls us to become a disciple of Jesus, to look to him for the decisions of life and to be guided by the teaching that we learn from the Bible. So I ask, are you yet a disciple? Because if not, maybe. If you've reflected on this great miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, you need to be one who receives not only the practical bread of life, but also that which leads to eternal life, the laying down of his life by Jesus for you when he died upon the cross. Rising from death, calling you through his Holy Spirit power to commit your life to him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for coming among us in human form, for teaching, for healing, for laying down your life, and for breaking death's power. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, help us to be people who do not only dabble on the edge, but help us to put all our trust in you and to follow you, to encourage one another in hearing your voice, your word to us. Lord Jesus, we commit ourselves to follow you and to listen to you and to enable your kingdom to be brought in Sutton and wherever you send us, for Jesus' sake. Amen.